Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Geneva's City Hall and the City Council Chamber. Tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our City Clerk to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Dean Kilburg?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marx?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer? Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg here.
Mr. Singer could not be with us tonight. He's with his lovely wife, Marilyn. And Alderman Vogelsberg is joining us by phone. State law allows an elected official to participate in a meeting via teleconference. So Alderman Vogelsberg is with us by phone. When she votes tonight, she will have to identify her name and then cast her vote. Questions, gentlemen? This is the quietest group I've ever seen in my life so far. It's amazing. The cameras are on. Now's your chance to make an impression, because prom's only 4 years away. Vikings, would you kindly do us the honor of leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay. We're going to follow your lead, gentlemen. Nice job, guys. Did everyone notice this gaggle of guys when you walked in tonight? Go ahead and play along if you want to. It's like meeting with Phil Buss at the county during those days. Holy God, it's just intimidating. Did he leave? Oh, there he is. Oh. Well, gentlemen, you're here tonight because you're World Series champions, I understand. And I understand Mitch, something or other, ski. Mitch, come on up to the podium, big guy. Identify yourself for us.
I am Mitchell Stempowski.
Mitchell Stempowski. What do your friends call you, Mitch?
Yes.
It's not Sim or Powski or?
No.
Big Stem. What grade are you in, Mitch?
Eighth grade.
And what school do you attend?
Geneva Middle School North.
Northy, huh? So you guys get the bottled water?
Yeah.
Okay. And off to Geneva High School next year?
Yes.
And what position do you play?
Third base, catcher, first base, pitcher.
So really no talent whatsoever, just wherever they can put you?
Yeah, really.
There is? And you have your teammates with you this evening?
Yes.
Now tell us about this World Series victory. Tell us about your whole season. You're elected the spokesperson, so we hope you're A, articulate, and B, brief.
Okay. Well, we had a very good season. I'm not sure about our record, but it was well over 500. And we had to place in a state championship in fourth place or higher in order to get to the World Series. So then we won the state championship. We went on to the World Series. We had to win, I think, six games. And then we went on to the World Championship.
So a single elimination?
No, there was bracket play.
It was bracket play, okay.
And then there was double elimination,
oh, wow.
I think. I'm not sure. Okay.
Well, now I know why you're the spokesperson, Mitch.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of Nancy Reagans behind you telling you what to say.
And then we won the World Series by a score of 9-1, which was Slaughter Rule.
Oh, it is Slaughter Rule. You guys play seven innings, correct?
Yes. Our record was 47-13.
47-13. Awesome. I know all the players are here save one because the gentleman, I believe, has pneumonia tonight, right?
Yes, he does.
That's a bummer. Hopefully he's tuning in.
In the interest of sportsmanship, we should know who you beat in the final.
We beat the Indiana Flyers.
Really? That's a creative name.
They must have been a pretty good team to get that far, too. So.
Yeah. They were an in-house travel team. So.
Where was the World Series held?
Battle Creek, Michigan.
Woo! Which is also the home of?
Kellogg's.
Very good. Well done. You guys are great. Do you want to introduce the coaching staff? And I know one of the coaches would like to say a few words, or perhaps all the coaches want to say something. I don't know.
Okay.
This is pretty cool.
Well.
What are you chewing, by the way? Is that bubble gum or something different?
Yes, it's gum.
Is it gum?
Yes.
Where's your parents?
Well, my dad is right there, and my mom is right there.
Oh, so you're the loud one we talked to. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, she is loud, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Holy moly. What, is it Bub's daddy, or what kind is it?
It's, I don't know, some gum. Okay, well then, our main head coach is right there, Derek Smith.
Now, we all know Derek Smith. Derek Smith's a legend.
Yeah, he is. And then our assistant coach is right there, Jeff Bragg.
Hey.
And then our other assistant coach is right there, Craig Stempowski.
You pronounced that correctly.
It's my last name. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, so who's the first base coach?
Him.
Mr. Bragg?
Yes.
So, Mr. Bragg, at first base, is it exciting, depressing, challenging, rewarding to...
With this group, it was always exciting and fun. You never knew what you were going to get, so...
I bet. And you, they took signals well from the third base coach?
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is mom passing you a note?
No. I had to spit out my gum.
Oh, man.
Getting a lot of gum out of your
mouth. Clearly. Well, I understand you guys were not only awarded the championship, but you also get some cool bling.
Some rings. We get World Series rings.
Don't correct me, Mitch.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
trying to be cool here, for God's
sake.
Where's my baseball glove, Jack?
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
Okay, good. Stay seated, just curious. Who's your favorite coach? I'm kidding. Don't ask that question.
Okay, I wasn't going to answer that.
It's got to be your dad. He's going to pay your tuition. I have the honor of handing out rings to all you guys. Have you worn these rings already?
No.
So you haven't even, have you seen them?
No.
Really?
Well, we've seen a...
God, this is cool.
Yeah, a replica.
Wow, look at, holy, oops. I spelled baseball with one L. These are really cool, man. And thank you in advance for giving me one. That was really nice of you.
No problem.
Okay. I got to do the Phil Donahue thing. I hand that to... So how much does it cost to play in this league?
I don't know.
Is it an expensive venture for the moms and dads? It's got to be, don't you think?
All worth it.
Mike? I do. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You, sit down.
Yes, okay.
Well done, Mitch. I'm going to announce your name. I have the honor of presenting you with the World Series championship ring. You're going to come up. You're going to introduce yourself, the position you play, the year in school you are, Facebook account.
No.
Good. Bad stuff, man. Bad stuff. This guy wears number one. Jack McDonald. Cameras too. Here, don't turn around. That's the best side right there. I'm kidding. Look at that thing. What position do you play, Jack?
I play shortstop and pitcher, and sometimes outfield.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is so cool. Put that baby on. Oh, that is. Isn't that cool? That is really nice, man. Anything else you want to say?
Not really.
Oh, your mom and dad are here? Your bros here?
Yep.
Yeah. They're your biggest fans?
Yes.
Yeah?
And then Miss Stempowski was biggest
fan. The loudest fan. That's cool. Congratulations, big guy. Thank you. This is in obviously no order. Number 25, Nick Black. Nick, this is cool, man. Does it have your number on there, too? No? That is so cool, man. What do you think? It is cool. That's it?
What position do you play, Nick?
Shortstop, second base, or sometimes pitcher.
And what grade are you in?
Seventh.
And next year you're going to go to what school?
Geneva Middle School South.
Southies rule, man. Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, sir. He's what? He's focusing on baseball, right? Now, I know there's a Bears game tonight, but tonight's baseball, right?
Yeah. We're playing the Packers.
Who wants to watch a bunch of people with thyroid problems? For God's sake. Good Lord, Mrs. McDonald.
Well, here's
Garrett. Number 12, Garrett Sneed. Open that baby up and look surprised. Now, everyone puts it on a different finger. Notice that? That's cool. You put it on your right? Because why? That's where I see I have one too. When I was in college, it was a World Series college ring. I was the understudy for the fall play. What position do you play?
Catcher at second base.
Do you like my catcher's mitt?
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? Do you want it?
Sure.
$100. So they don't make real leather mitts anymore. How do you wear your hat? Do you bend the cap of your hat?
Yeah, bend it.
You bend it down?
Yep.
None of that flyboy stuff or whatever. Okay, no flap. Not on this team. No M&M kind of junk. Not allowed. Why not, coach?
We're grinders.
You're who what?
We're grinders.
Grinders? This is being televised, coach. You don't need a kind of language here. Congratulations, dude. Thank you. Oh, look at this. Kyle Fisher is the one who's sick. Sorry, Kyle, if you're watching, big guy, we'll make sure you get that ring next season. Interesting. Do we want to do the coaches last or no? No, let's mix them up, right?
Sure.
Coach Stempowski. Woo! The coaches get a ring, too?
How about that?
That is so cool, man.
Hey, the microphone's yours, big guy. What do you want to say about these gentlemen?
You know, it's been a pleasure this year. Coaching all you guys. It's a great season, 47-12. That is something to be proud of. So it's been great seeing all you guys grow, and I look forward to next year.
Awesome. Look at that. Does it fit? Let's see if it fits. I feel like I'm on a limit date or something. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Lay off the salt.
It's like
or alcohol.
Put on your pinky. It looks like you're from Cicero. Erase that by part of the tape, by the way. Yeah, that looks good. That'll go on the shelf. I like that. And what do you do for a living?
I build homes.
You do?
Yes.
So you've got the flexibility to help lead these gentlemen.
Somewhat.
Somewhat?
Yes.
And what kind of homes would you build for them if you could build a home for them?
Probably a big house that has all the entertainment features that they could all hang together.
Awesome.
Like
a prison.
I think I'd have a different room for each one of them.
Smart move. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Check this out. Coach Bragg. Where is he? He's taking pictures. I know I'm going to drop one of these. It'll be brutal. That's for you, big guy.
I know this one.
Sure. Yeah, look at that, man. You look like you're on, I don't know what. You want to say something?
Just real quickly, I will say, as great as this team has been to
be around during games. They're as much fun to hang around outside of the game. They're a great group of kids. So I've enjoyed being with them for 3-4 years now.
Thank you. How are the parents, though? When you're coaching, it's got to be tough. When the parents saying, you know, put me in.
No, it's been a great group.
No, seriously.
No, seriously.
Which parent do you not like the most? Which one's the loudest?
Oh, that's easy.
Congratulations,
thank
Coach.
You.
Ryan Stempowski, where are you, dude? This is a true story. My brother Brian, who's a teacher at the high school, guess who he taught in high school and who he's still friends with today? Very good, Jake Peavy. Isn't that amazing? In fact, he was involved in the trade. That's for you, dude. That's a great name, by the way, Ryan. That's my middle name. Do you know that? It is. You're destined for mediocrity, man. What position?
Shortstop.
And what grade
are
you in?
Six.
I smell Rhodes Scholar.
Peters.
Are you at St. Pete?
No.
Oh, no.
You were.
I graduated there in 78. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Before there was a guy. Waste that from the table.
Anything you want to say to your teammates?
It's just very fun to play with them. Yeah. Just a lot. Because I like winning. Yeah.
Those 13 games you didn't win, though, that's okay, right?
Yeah, what the heck? You learned something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What'd you learn?
We, like, had too many errors. And just, yeah.
Now, is your hat signed?
Yeah, it's just like Cougars.
Oh, just Cougars. I'll be sure they watch this videotape. That's awesome. Congratulations, dude. Thank you. Wow, check this out. This gentleman wears number 10. His name is Grant. Is it Grant McNally? Or McCauley? McCauley. This guy looks like Aaron White, doesn't he, Jack? Doesn't he? It's amazing. Kind of gangly and dark. Yeah, that's for you, big guy. Open that up, see what you get. Get that out of your way. You're tall. Do you play basketball, too? You're pretty much a conversationalist, aren't you? What grade are you in?
I was seventh.
Which school?
Junior Middle School, South.
Next year, what are your plans?
Go to school.
And position?
Pitcher and first base.
Pitcher. What's your ERA? What's your GPA? Are your parents here tonight?
Yeah.
They must be so proud. Where are your parents?
Right there and there.
Look at that. That's cool, man. Want to say anything?
Nope.
It's all good? Do you have any homework tonight?
Yeah.
What subject?
Math.
You'll never need it. Play baseball, babe. You don't need math. Come on. Math, schmath. Congratulations. Ooh, look at this one. Is it seven? No, of course it's not seven. That'd be stupid. It's Sean
Sinisco.
Number nine. Where's Mr. Sinisco? Oh God, this kid's huge. Dude, man, and you're in eighth grade. Mike, you live under power lines by any chance, Sean? You could? Whereabouts do you live in town, man? You don't know where you live? No? Oh my God, look at those nice new shoes. What, do you work for IDOT? That's not going to come off, is it? But next year you're going to high school.
Yes.
Yes. And you want to play baseball?
Yes.
What position?
Pitcher, first base.
How fast do you throw?
Around 72.
72 miles an hour, no kidding. And is the mound 60 feet, 6 inches?
Not for two more years.
But in high school it is. So next year,
next year for him.
Yeah, you got to back up, man. What's your favorite pitch?
Fastball.
Strike.
How often do you throw those?
Very.
Wait, which one?
Strike.
Oh.
Want me to slow it down?
Yes.
So strike is your, that's your preferred pitch, a strike.
Yeah.
Do you have a curveball?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yes.
You want to add anything?
No.
You're a good sport, man. I love the shoes, by the way. It's like canoes, man. It's like, wow. Mitch Mascari. Now I got to ask, is your dad Tom?
Yeah.
Where's your dad? Guess what? Tom and I went to college together. Do you know that? Yeah. Well, he was held back like 4 years. Tom's an Augustana grad, right? Kind of. But you went there for several years. Tom and I hung out in the dorms together. It's true. I think I may have been your RA. Holy God. I got dirt on your dad, man. So when your dad says, don't ever do that, call me. I'll let you know exactly where I did. Look at that. Isn't that cool? You want to try that baby on? What's the wristband stand for? What's that represent?
I don't know. Just like love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Who told you that? Well, that thing's big, isn't it? What position do you play, big guy?
Third base and right field.
Right field? That's a hard position. Why is that a hard position?
Because you got to cover a lot of ground.
And the ball comes off the bat the opposite way.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what I played in high school, right field. Did you ever see my films? No?
Anything you want to add to the team or your dad back there with the cheap camera?
Thanks for being here, man. Be good. Holy moly, look at this one. This is like a baseball name, too. Jackson Chase.
Woo!
Well, Jackson, is this your girlfriend? Is that a family name, Jackson?
No.
No? Is Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah, good answer. And what grade are you in?
7.
Which school?
Geneva Middle School North.
You don't have to say Geneva Middle School. Just say North or South. You'll save a lot of time.
North.
Time is money. What's your middle name?
Tanner.
JT? Do they call you JT?
No.
No? Do they call you Jackson?
Yeah.
JC?
As in Jackson Chase? And what position do you play?
Second base and center.
Second base and center? So you've got a heck of an arm, and they also put you at second base?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you like better, second base or center?
Second base.
Why is that?
Because I like second base better.
You got to work on your answers, man. So, anything you want to say to the team or your parents or everyone watching at home? That other kid's huge, isn't he? Holy God, man. It's like.
Well, thanks for being here, bud.
Thank you. The spokesperson, Mitch Simpowski. Do you always wear your hat in the building?
No.
No?
I wear my hat a lot.
Do you? Do you have a bad hairline?
No.
No? Oh, put it back on. That's for you, big guy. And what's this thing around your neck? Is it? Does it represent something? I know all the kids wear them pretty much, right?
We're black for our team.
Ah, what are the original colors of Geneva?
I don't know.
That's the problem. Blue and white. Yeah, what number do you wear?
26.
26. That was my ACT times 2. Anything you want to say to the coaches? Except for your dad?
Thank you for a great season.
That's nice, man. I got tears in my eyes.
Honestly,
what grade are you in?
8th.
Off to high school next year, Geneva?
You know, you already asked me this.
I don't care. Not for the camera, though.
Yes.
What position?
You hold it.
Catcher.
Catcher.
Yeah.
It's a good position, man. How are your knees?
Good.
Have you seen my catcher's mitt over there?
Yes, I have.
What the?
No.
Oh, boy. Look at this one. Oh, this is the coach's kid, Garrett Bragg. Where's Garrett? Boy, I was talking to this guy earlier, man. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good. Thanks for dressing up. This is for you. Thank you. Want to try that baby on?
Yeah.
You guys haven't seen these before? This is so cool.
They're kind of hidden.
Are you gonna wear these all the time?
Yes.
Are you?
No.
Like cruise down the hallway, hey, how you doing? That's awesome, man. So what position do you play?
Pitcher, third base, and catcher.
Which one do you like the best?
Pitcher.
How come?
Strike kids out.
Yeah. What's your favorite pitch?
Curveball.
Curveball. Does it break a lot?
Yes. It's nasty.
Yeah, is it really? How many feet does it break?
I don't know. One on top of the head. Like a couple. Two or three.
No kidding? Hits the dirt, too, after it breaks?
Yeah.
Who's your catcher? Why isn't he stopping that?
Garrett,
do you stop it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you? You don't put your glove up to stop it, do you? You put your glove down?
Oh, yeah, put the glove down.
Smart move. Do you wear a mask?
Okay.
Anything you want to say to your teammates or coaches?
I want to say something to the camera. Hi, Mom.
This isn't the MTV Awards, dude. It's like, that was very nice. That was really nice. Blake, where are you, buddy? Number 13. Am I reading this? Is it Byron? You don't know what your last name is?
Oh, Bria.
Dude, man. How many times have you been in seventh grade? Hey, you got the same shoes as the big guy. Are those like all the popular craze now? They're comfy, though? Where'd you get those things?
Dick's.
Dick's Sporting Goods? You know, if you're on the city council, you get things free? That's awesome. And what grade are you in?
Seventh.
What school?
North.
Northy. See that? He didn't say all that nonsense before. Superfluous language. And next year you're off to eighth grade, man. Still going to play with these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're going to play with them until you can't. Right. And then you turn 30, you play softball, then body falls apart and end up in public office. It's brutal, man. Anything you want to say to the teammates or coaches?
Season, pleasure playing with you guys. It's been fun, thick and thin, but we're still a team.
That was nice, man. That was really cool. Thank you. I hope I haven't missed anyone, but this is our final. Check this out. Derico Smythe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Coach Derek Smith. There's nothing in there. Do you have the ring?
You put it in your pocket, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Do you have the ring, Coach?
To be honest with you, you know what? I took it off and put it on my dresser. So.
Holy God, I almost said. That was really funny. Holy goodness. Well, there you go. There's a box for you.
First of all, on behalf of Geneva Baseball and our team, the Geneva 12 Blue World Champion, this is for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Minus Kyle Fisher, who'll have to come down and sign it for you.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll just go to Fisher's house. Where's it live?
Somewhere in Eagle Brook.
Oh, this is cool, guys. I'm going to display this. If you've been in my office before, you've seen other baseballs in there. And I have baseball there signed by kids when I coached them in Little League. In their 30s. So this is awesome. I'll treasure this for like an hour. Thank you very much. Is there a training bin?
We're inside of it.
Really? I don't want to break it open. It's like hermetically sealed. That is so cool. Jack, did you write your own name?
Yes.
Well done. I like the X. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
None of this happens without great players, great kids, more importantly, great kids, without the great parents. We very much enjoyed wearing the city of Geneva across our chests and representing you guys in different states, not just around here, but different states as well. So it was a pleasure playing for Geneva. It was a pleasure being with these guys and being with this great group of parents.
turn in the back.
Thank you. Great season. Congratulations.
Thank you, Council, for indulging the world champions. That's pretty cool. Under item 3B, which is not on the agenda, but was published, is a public hearing on annexation agreement amendment to Fisher Farms. I would kindly ask for a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Motion by Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bruno. Voice vote sufficient to open the meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Vogelsberg, aye.
The public hearing is open regarding the amendment to the annexation agreement for Fisher Farms. Any questions or comments? Any elucidation by Mr. Unch?
If I may, just a couple of quick comments. The annexation agreement is the fourth amendment to the annexation agreement for Fisher Farms. This pertains to property at the southeast corner of Brisher Road and Peck Road. It pertains to a development proposed by Geneva Blue LLC. The basic subject matter of the annexation agreement is a rezoning of the property from the R7 district to the R4 district. There are also development parameters identified in the agreement that establish the planned unit development plans that have been reviewed by the Plan Commission and were recommended for approval last month. And then finally, the annexation agreement amendment has terms and conditions pertaining to our cash contribution requirements in our subdivision regulations as they pertain to school district contributions, park district contributions, library district contribution, and a contribution to the fire station construction fee requirements of our city code. And with that, I'm available if there are questions.
Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Unch, it's just the ones that In other words, this agreement was in place. The only changes are the ones that you've indicated on the agreement, and nothing else was included, right?
That's correct. All the other provisions of the agreement remain in force.
In force, so that's the only changes are. Thank you.
Alderman Brown?
Yes, Mr. Runch, for the record, we usually state what the Plan Commission vote was.
This was a unanimous vote.
It was, and there was no substantial discussion of any issues of conflict?
Well, there was a lengthy presentation and description of the proposed development. In this particular development plan, the actual ordinance approving the planned unit development as proposed would contain a number of conditions that are in the ordinance and put in place to address the various aspects, details of the development that really relate back to the dialogue and the discussion that the developer has had with the Prairie Ridge Townhome Association regarding compatibility of this development, this proposed development, to the existing townhomes that are
there. And I understand there is a basic understanding between the developer and the existing homes that
absolutely
this is a reasonable direction to go in.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much.
Alderman Gilbert.
I had a question on the school and park contributions.
Yes.
I see that those figures were revised from the original annexation agreement. Can you explain how those numbers were arrived at?
Well, it was the result of a discussion. The school district numbers were arrived at through direct dialogue with Kent Mutchler and Donna Olberg and Todd Latham. We met last week with the developer and the school district staff, and really came to a contribution amount based on a blending of both three-bedroom and two-bedroom units that would be anticipated within the development. And it all references back to the calculation formula that's in our subdivision regulations for detached single-family homes.
And the park contribution was arrived at the same way?
That is correct.
Consulting with the park district?
It was a calculated number that they've agreed to based on our formula. It's in our ordinance.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else in the dais? This is a public hearing. Anyone from the audience regarding the amendment to the Fisher Farms annexation agreement? If not, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Motion by Brown.
Second.
Seconded by Marks. A voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Vogelsberg, aye.
Thank you all. Just a point of reference, this item is listed as item 11G on the consent agenda. It will remain on the consent agenda. I will be voting when the consent agenda roll is called, and my vote will be in concert with item 11G. Item 4 is amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening by anyone on the dais and or the audience? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion unless a member of the council and or community wishes to remove an item for new and relevant information. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Alderman Bruno makes the motion.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the second. A roll call vote is in order.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. Consent agenda passes unanimously. The correction, 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. We jump down to item number 9A, consider acceptance of fiscal year 2013-14 second quarter goals status report. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Cummings. Any questions or comments regarding the report presented? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Vogelsberg, aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 9B is to discussion... Forgive me, I think I've skipped something. 9B is discussion on the Route 31 road diet improvements for fiscal year 2014-2015 goal consideration. This is simply discussion, no motion is needed. We'll open the floor to our guests who are with us. I will defer to Alderman Simonian and Alderman Malaja with respect to those introductions. But just by way of background, the City Council had a goals and objectives strategic planning workshop this past Friday. And part and parcel to that discussion was this very topic that we thought would be best considered, vetted, and discussed in a more public forum. And that's why we're here this evening discussing this very item. So, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you. Myself and Alderman Maladra met with a neighbor in the 5th Ward, a gentleman by the name of Bob Fitzsimmons, who was instrumental back in 2005 when the City Council adopted a bike path plan, pedestrian plan. And Bob asked if he could get our support in bringing that back to life for Route 31. And we were in support of that. And so Bob took his time and his money and his resources to investigate the opportunity to see if it is worthwhile and to pass it to the next level, to IDOT, because Route 31 is an IDOT road. And tonight, Bob is here, along with Phil Buss, who did a lot of the work in. We'd like for them to share some of the history and how they've got to where we are now and open it up for discussion to see if this is something that we can continue pursuing and the City of Geneva can support. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Bob and to Phil.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Phil's actually the transportation expert, as you may know from his history at the county, with both development and transportation expertise. I pretend to have neither, but you'll see in a presentation, very brief tonight, because we know your time is valuable, that it's this icon on the bottom right here. Yeah, got it. That this has certainly been in concept for some time. I actually wasn't involved in 2005. I mentioned this shortly after we moved into the area in 1993. In the Ottley administration, and it was actually the city and people on the bike path implementation process that culminated in 2005 that came up with the plan that we're going to see tonight. What we've done in the interim is have brief engineering studies done that track it to modern traffic counts, and also to try to create so that both neighbors and policymakers, and ultimately, if you concur, the actual people have to make the decision because it is a state road. Can see it visually and can understand it in a way that's more than the brief narration that was in the 2005 bike implementation plan that Geneva passed. With that, I'll turn it over to Phil to explain what he's done.
This is just a conceptual plan that was put together with SEMCON Consulting and myself, and we looked at the section of Route 31 from Fabian Parkway all the way up to 3rd Street, and the two existing opportunities for the bike trail, one at the Fabian Forest Preserve to the south, and then of course up at the Government Center and the signal there, and the connection to the Fox River Trail. We also looked at the existing cross section, and you have somewhere between 38 and 39 in a few places up to almost 40 feet of pavement. Any of you, well, you've all driven it, and you've probably all had at least one white knuckle experience on Route 31 through that stretch. And so we looked at the existing section, which you see there is just the 4 lanes, and I don't need to describe that further, I don't think, because the lanes are narrow. Then we looked at a road diet opportunity, which would turn it into the middle section you see there, where there's a bike lane on each side and only one through lane, and a, I'm sorry, the bottom is the typical turn lane section, so that you're not interrupting any of the traffic movements. And then the middle section indicates an area down somewhere around south of Forest Lane where you'd have an opportunity to have a pedestrian bike trail crossing feature with a signal. It's called a hawk signal, I think, and a pedestrian bike refuge in the middle at the median, and that would have to be all striped and signed and so on. So as Route 31 is repaved in the future, hopefully by IDOT in the near future, this represents an opportunity to do something a little bit different and with some benefits to the public, to the city of Geneva. The road bag benefits are listed there. Of course, improved safety, reducing crash rates, reducing speed. As you come to the north, it goes from 35, is it, down to 30. But I don't know of anybody who's ever actually driven 30 miles an hour down that right there. And a lot of times if they're trying to get to the train, they're going a lot faster than that. So there is a traffic taming, traffic calming element to this, which is significant. As Bob said, it does implement the existing Geneva bikeway plan, which is, I think, pages 40 to 42, where it discusses this exact thing. It does maintain vehicle capacity. You can do a bike, I'm sorry, you can do a road diet similar to this on a road that handles between 10 to 20,000 cars per day. You are on the lower end of that. You're around 12 to 14,000, including trucks. And so you do fall within the range for a road diet program on this road. You would maintain the capacity, but certainly improve safety and reduce speed. And then it creates some landscape island opportunities in the future. It certainly creates a great opportunity for an improved bike pedestrian signalized crossing. I know in my travels I've seen mothers and fathers and families and all kinds of people trying to cross from the west side over to the east side or from Fabian back over into the neighborhoods there. And that's a risky venture the way it is right now. And then it allows you the opportunity in the future to advance the complete street approach for this street. And that's a general direction that's we're going in this country with a lot of our streets, making them safer and more pedestrian friendly. So we did identify the two transition areas. The transition areas, the one to the south is just right around Forest View Drive, to the south of Forest View Drive. It maintains the four-lane section all the way south to Fabian Parkway. You've got a difficult intersection down at Fabian Parkway. You have economic development opportunities along Route 31 in that stretch. And you also have a slightly wider cross-section for much of that stretch right there. And then up to the north, you have another transition area by the 3rd Street, a government center entrance signal. And that one is a little bit easier, but is still a transition area where you have to get the cars into the right, the appropriate lanes and so on with painting, with signage, striping, and maybe even some additional curb work. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Phil. Questions or comments from Mr. Buss and or Mr. Fitzsimmons? Alderman Cummings.
I have a couple questions. How would I'm immediately attracted to the median section, the middle graphic there. How would something like that fit into two different areas? to do some sort of circular through there rather than stoplights. And then second, when somebody is driving in an automobile northbound on 31, and we have a median section, we have cutouts for the left-hand turn, westbound turn onto, say, Fargo from northbound.
Yeah, this would not be a continuous median. You'd only have that median section in certain locations. We've indicated a typical one here at the very south end where you'd have a you have the opportunity for a bike pedestrian crossing. There could be other ones. Much of the stretch, though, would be the turn lane section on the very bottom where it's just the striping with the center turn lane. But there are other opportunities for medians in other stretches that would fit in and not prevent any of the left turn movements or the southbound left turn movements into the driveways.
And do you see any problem apparent? Would this any of those prohibit a circular at 3rd and 31?
No, and I'm a little familiar with the roundabout circular up at that location, and that's a whole nother project. But there's nothing here that would preclude that from advancing on its own.
Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is there a state standard for Illinois state routes for width of lanes? Is it 11 or 12 feet?
Yeah, there is, and you know, this is not a typical stretch.
I understand that. In your diet plan, would the lanes be standard 12-foot lanes, the two existing single lanes in that plan?
Probably not. You'd probably have to have them narrower than that.
Probably 11.
That's one of the details we'd have to get into if you decided to move
ahead. What is the actual width of the right-of-way through there? Is the right-of-way wider than the actual curbed?
Yes, it is, you know.
But not much?
Not much. If you call the road surface 40 feet, and that's being pretty generous on much of it, some of it's only like 38 and a half, and it's hard. Some of it's so disintegrated you don't know where to begin measuring the pavement. But 38 and a half to 40 feet, and then you probably have another 5 to 10 feet on either side. So you're squeezing a lot of road surface into a narrow right-of-way.
So the state could decide to rebuild with a four-lane cross-section, but just by removing the curbs, go out wider within their existing right-of-way.
I suppose they could, but there's
in costs inherent.
I don't know. There, you probably have a lot of underground. There are a lot of issues associated with that.
They're going to have to rebuild the curbs in order to do anything on that roadway, I presume. It would be silly to pave it without rebuilding the curbs.
Well, they did that incrementally last time, as you remember. As they get into it, they start the paving process, and they realize this curb's not going to hold up. So they did some new sections of curb, and some of them they did too high, and they had to come back and cut them down lower, as I remember, or something like that. So that stretch of road is a road in work in progress.
Well, I'm intrigued by the new plan, but those vehicular traffic numbers, 11 to 12, 13,000, are those recent?
2011.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We got those from the city staff, actually. So.
Alderman Kilburg?
I think the issues that you're raising here are issues also to Tavy go even further south.
We haven't had any with them, and you know, maybe you'll be the trendsetter here, but the one thing that's missing here that they're not missing is you don't have the bike trail connection all the way through on the West Bank, and in Batavia and North Aurora they have the parallel bike trail all the way along the river. So this is an important linkage in the bike trail system.
Is this really a safety concern? consideration as far as vehicular traffic, or is this really an opportunity to enhance the bike network through the Fox Valley? I mean, where is the priority?
Well, I think that's partly up to you to determine the priority. I think it's all of those things. It's the traffic calming, the reducing the speed, and the increased safety are all together. You don't reduce the capacity, and you create the opportunity for the bike trail. So it's a package.
How will this improve traffic flow compared to Route 25 during peak hours? Because I've been on Route 25, which is single lane both directions. And as I approach Fabian, a lot of times that light will have to change two or three times before I can actually get through it at 7:30 in the morning or in the evening at about 4:15 to about 6 p.m. How does this enhance traffic flow? Because roadways are about traffic flow. And this is what my understanding is, moving traffic. Does this, in other words, if I'm driving on Route 31 today versus with these enhancements, is that going to really improve traffic flow, you feel?
It will probably slow it down a little bit, which is part of the intent. But again, we've stayed away from that southern segment down by Fabian Parkway so that you're not interfering with the left turn and the signal there and a lot of other things going on at that very busy and difficult.
At both ends, you're leaving the intersection, which is a modern improvement. You'll notice that when they did the turn, the northern section before, they put in modern lane width, and it's curved. And this doesn't interfere with that. In fact, it'll have the same turn lane, straight lane configuration on the north end. On the south end, you have more truck traffic. You also have modern lane width and intersections where, quite frankly, they should have XL, DCL lanes. And that will all go on. That modern configuration on the south, by staying a good fraction of a mile north of it, is meant to not interfere. All you're doing is completing the link that's missing in the bike path if you go in the northern entrance of the forest preserve.
Another question. They have AM garbage collection over there about the time that people are going to work. In other words, if you live on the east side of 31 or the west side of 31, and if you narrow it to two lanes, and you've got a garbage truck that's trying to navigate through there and collect garbage, because my understanding is the residents bring their garbage out to the street, right? They don't enter.
That is correct.
So if you got a garbage truck out there at 7 o'clock and you're trying to get to the train, you think this will help you get to the train on time, or do you think it might delay you?
You'd certainly, to get around a garbage truck, you'd have to go in the turn lane, because there'll be a continuous turn lane all the way through there.
Well, but the garbage truck would be, you'd have to provide for the garbage collection function to occur in the bike trail lane. So then your through lane and your turn lane are still there for continuous.
My last question. Have you had any conversation with the residents along 31 in that area as to their thoughts, and have you collected petitions or anything to indicate that those residents would be receptive to what you're proposing here?
We've had numerous conversations, but certainly nothing like a public meeting. Many were aware of it from 2005, actually, so your bike plan and your roundabout plan are actually fairly well known to people in that vicinity. So it wasn't a surprise to most people. We've had extensive conversation at the south where the Hackendall's property might be redeveloped, and I know Dick Unch and others have worked with them, so we went and showed them this plan in advance and basically showed them that the impact was to be limited to basically just get the bike path in the north entrance. And so far, no negative comments, but obviously we'd be interested in thoughts of the neighbors.
That's all I have now.
Mr. Collins in the control room just reminded me to remind all of you to turn your microphones on when speaking. Anyone else on the dais? Comments or questions for Mr. Buss or Mr. Fitzsimmons?
I'll just jump
Alderman
in
Maladra
with a comment. So from my perspective, guys, what this is doing to the question of is this bike trail or safety, we have a possible opportunity to complete part of a bikeway plan that we established in 2005. That plan is available on the city's website. You can take a look at it. It's on page 41, as Phil said. So we have an opportunity to complete a segment of that plan and at the same time enhance and address safety concerns along Route 31. To the comment about we don't know anybody who goes 30 miles an hour there, I'm sure we all know worse than that, people who were actually in accidents there. I was in one. The guy who hit me was going 65. The house you bought, the people you bought from had an incident there. So it's a dicey stretch of road. And as I look at it going south, it's nice that it opens up to four lanes at the intersection. And going north, the fact is it becomes two lanes on the other side of the, you know, when we go around the curve. So concerns about garbage collection and things like that, we're handling it on the northern part of the road today. I'm sure we can handle it on the southern part of the road. If nothing else, it bears just taking it as far as we can until we get to a point where we can say it's not going to work. But I think it will. That's my take.
Alderman Bruno?
Well, anyone that uses the bike path knows that that's a real glaring missing segment through the government center there. I don't know the history of that stretch. I know that there's Stubbs and Fabian that dead end. I don't know where that failed, but the Route 31 in my history here has always been, as you say, it can be white knuckling. You can't really drive two abreast in any real sense. It almost seems two lanes already. That said, you know, while I like the you know, the connection with the pedestrian friendly, bike friendly, you know, seeing the engineering studies, making sure there's no egregious traffic issues that fall out of this, it seems really attractive to me. Thank you.
Mr. Dinges, do you want to add something for the benefit of everyone? And I'll turn it over to Alderman Simonia or anyone else in the audience who has a comment or a question. And then ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we will take a vote. I misspoke earlier. And the vote would be to include this Route 31 road diet in our goals and objectives for the forthcoming fiscal year. And my recommendation would be for, quote, additional consideration, perhaps reconnaissance, and cooperation with appropriate agencies and what have you. So. Dinges?
All right. Just wanted to make some comments. I mean, this is in our plan long term. We want to get this objective taken care of, and it makes sense to coordinate it with IDOT's resurfacing. And to clarify, IDOT does just have this scheduled as a resurfacing, so they might do some spot curb work, but it'll likely just be a grind and an overlay of what you've got there. As Phil Buss described, the road pavement does vary from 38.5 to 40 feet, not including the curbs. So just to give an idea what that means, and it's going to be something we're definitely going to be working with IDOT to make this happen. We have to get their buy-in. It's their roadway anyway. But the lanes right now are at best 10 feet each lane. What we're looking at, in order to have a bike lane, the bike lanes are supposed to be 5 feet. So there's 10, five on both sides. And then you've got roughly 30 feet left over. So you're still looking at a 10 foot or less lane in each direction plus that left turn lane. So you're not going to get a wider lane. What you're going to get is you're going to get more space because you're not going to have that, the two parallel lines. You're going to have a bike path in the turn lane. So you'll have more room. So that's one of our concerns is, will this actually be a traffic calmer? Because now you won't have the cars there. It could actually increase the speed because now people have a lot of space and it might actually increase. So that's something we want to look at when we get into it, because obviously that's not something we want to do, is increase the speeds. Right now, everybody said it's actually, you know, when you have two cars there, it's very hard to drive and everybody kind of slows down. So that actually acts as a traffic calmer on its own, but that's something we're going to have to look at. We would need to get updated traffic counts, all that stuff, so that we can figure out what we actually have. The numbers we provided were from IDOT, and they were from 2011, so we would want to get current counts. The landscape median, you know, obviously that adds more cost. IDOT's not going to pay for any of that, so that would be all ours. Long term, if you're landscaping it, that's an added cost. So it'd be something that we'd also want to look at. As far as the signal of the crossing, one thing that we question and I think would need to be looked at when we get into it is, do you put that crossing mid-block at the Forest Preserve entrance, or do you try to find an intersection like Fargo to make that crossing? That'd be something that we could at least look at. It might ultimately be the best location is there, but we should at least look at that. Again, I think we should look down all the way to Fabian, have those discussions with Batavia to see if they have any interest. Yeah, it does get more complicated as you get closer to Fabian, but ultimately Fabian on the Batavia side, south side, there is a bike trail that runs east and west, so it'd be nice to make that. And maybe we do this in phases. Maybe this is phase one and phase two is bringing it down to Fabian. You already talked about the roundabout. I think those are the main questions, concerns that I wanted to make sure everybody was clear that, you know, we would work with Phil in that, and ultimately if this became one of our priorities, then we'd be working with IDOT, the Forest Preserve District, and Batavia. I think that's, unless anybody has questions.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just, when we're talking about the width of the road, you said between 38 and 40?
Right.
So we're looking at 30 feet, and you're going to put a median strip in there too, and a turn lane at certain spots?
Well, what it would be is you'd have, going out, you would have 5 feet and five
we're
feet.
We're talking about this, the section from where there's the large, whatever you call it, blue
landscape
kind
median.
Of, blue kind of, yeah, and then down to the red. We're not going all the way down to Fabian. It's just that section there?
No.
You were talking about, or what section are we talking about from?
The blue sections are transition. What that is you're
okay,
going from
so
bike lanes down to drive lanes.
And we're
the
talking about the
away.
Entire picture.
The stretch would be from basically Third down to
okay.
Fabian or to the location there, but just south of the Forest Preserve's entrance there. Those are just transition periods where you're going from traffic to
okay.
bike lanes.
Okay, that's not the start and stop of the.
Everywhere in between there, you would have that extra 10 feet because if you have roughly 40,
right.
You got 10 feet for bike lanes.
Well, you got 5,
10
5,
and 10.
And 10, 10, right?
You got 30, 30. So 10 feet left would be either left turn lanes or the median, depending on what we end up doing there.
Okay.
So, I mean,
okay.
You have room. It's just, it's not like you're going to get your 12-foot lanes or anything like that. It's going to be likely a 10-foot
right.
lane.
Right. I understood when they asked about the widening, there wasn't going to be any widening. I understood.
Yeah, obviously that kicks the number much higher if we were to get them to do that.
And so the cost of the median would be ours, and I for one, I don't know how they're going to reduce the speed. I don't know what causes the speed reduction. I don't necessarily think it's the posting of the speed limit, actually.
Well, we've seen that they've ignored the speed limit,
right.
So I mean it's
so
we I mean that's something we have to look at as far as traffic calming to see what we can do to try to reduce that speed.
I mean, I like the idea of connecting the bike trails. I'm just concerned about, you know, things and issues that for one uh-huh. Alderman Kilburg brought up with the garbage trucks. I never thought about that, but I thought that's something we have to look at. So
I think where you have the left turn lane, it shouldn't be an issue because vehicles would be able to get around. It's if you have a landscape median, we'd have to look at that because you're looking at 15 feet. So 15 feet with a garbage truck is going to be very tight to try to get through there. So that's one of the things you'd have to look at. And do you put, I mean, if you have a short median, it's probably a minimal impact, especially if you have it right at that crossing or something like that. But it's not something where you'd want to have a landscape median that whole stretch because I think the fire department would have comments too on that as far as access or if there's an accident in that stretch. So I think landscape median wise would be something smaller.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Simonian?
When we were talking earlier when we first started this whole concept, the intent was, you know, I mean, ideally, would we love to get the whole road ripped up under, you know, underground, redone, everything. Yeah, that would be nice, but the chances of that happening is slim to none.
Right.
So we backtracked and said, what's the easiest way to get IDOT to at least take a look at this or at least entertain the opportunity? And we looked at it as simply a striping opportunity. They're going to resurface anyhow in the next couple of years on their plan, is if we could just restripe it and accomplish some of our goals. And, you know, the medians and everything else are nice, but they're not necessary. The intent was to be able to accomplish that bike path goal and, you know, try and calm that traffic. I mean, it's, you know, if you live there, it's, you know, we could go into, the city actually could go into business and selling hubcaps, all the ones that end up in our front yards. And the person who built my home was broadsided, and the woman was killed coming into the driveway by a Kane County Sheriff car. So it's dangerous if you sit up there. I can't even begin to believe the traffic would go faster if it does. But it's got to be calming, but it also, and the other part of the equation is all summer long, bicyclists and come down my driveway and a number of our driveways looking for the connection to the path. They get up on 31, and they don't know where it connects. And the sidewalk dead ends, and it says, then it says no biking. And you've got a lot of children and family. I mean, this is just a nightmare waiting to happen, especially with bikers and pedestrians coming off the Fox River Trail for those 12 homes that it doesn't connect. So it incorporates a lot of the thing, and we tried to do it. We tried to think of a way to do it where IDOT would bite off on it versus, and we didn't want to, you know, we know the city's focus is on East State Street, and not to take away from that, to make it easy for everybody to, you know, I guess support this.
Anyone else in the dais? Anybody in the audience joining us this evening? We don't need a formal motion per se in a second. I think I would just take a consensus. I will assume that we're all in favor of moving this forward and advancing it on our goals and objectives. Those who are not in favor of such, if you'd like to speak to that. Let the silence be the teacher, and therefore it's on the goals and objectives. That direction is to encourage staff, Alderman Maladra, Simonian, these two fine gentlemen. Yes?
Would we have an opportunity to take a look at actually what the goal is before we,
oh, sure,
we take a vote on it?
Oh, well.
I mean, is this a final vote on adding it? Or
yes.
Is this an opportunity to move it forward to where a goal is going to be developed? That we
No, this would be to advance it as a goal, with the caveat being that additional conversation, review, research, study, and planning with appropriate local, state agencies to ultimately bring back a final road diet plan for consideration as we advance it for a budget. And it could very well come back as, my God, A, we can't afford it, or B, guess what, IDOT's not going to pay for six more years instead of two, or what have you. So I think it's just to put it in
my
the queue.
My concern is the only caveat that I'd like to see incorporated is that I would like to give those people that live in the area that's going to be impacted by these enhancements an opportunity to express their opinion and to have their questions answered as well before we get too far into this process.
That'd be a public hearing.
I've talked with a dozen of them just in casual conversation when I run into them. I haven't run into anybody that's opposed to it. I mean, everybody knows what it's like there, and they're all trying to get in the same driveways and everything else. But I totally agree with you. This has got to be a neighborhood-supported effort. But when we get to that point, I think it would behoove us not to get the neighborhood supporting that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great that we have ideas. I think, though, that we need to...
I agree, 100%.
To garner buy-in before we get too far into this process and invest money.
Well, I think that's part of the caveat of the understanding is that conversations with appropriate.
I guess I'm saying, though, I think the interaction and the support of the neighbors, I think, would be one of those initial steps before we get too far down the road with it. I mean, you're in agreement.
I'm totally in agreement. You know, Bob even said at one point we probably should do some kind of a, you know, walk the neighborhood, knock on the doors, present this. But we didn't want to present something that the city didn't support. And so this was our next step. and then take this and then go and get consensus.
I'm just thinking, though, that this has been processed pretty quickly here, and for neighbors to gain a level of information to where they know that was going to be discussed tonight was a fairly short window.
Correct.
And some type of an informational meeting for residents, I think, would be good.
Right, but I agree.
The idea is we want to be able to say, here's what the city's thinking of doing. What's your reaction?
And if we get blockage from the neighbors after we come up with it, then it stops, in my opinion. It stops.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I just,
Mr. Brown,
like to point out that there are other stakeholders involved here, of course. I mean, this is a state highway, which presumably implies that any driver in the state has a stake in this state highway. And I think there might be people coming forward that say, no, we want to keep it four lanes. It makes no sense in this modern day and age to be taking a state highway and constricting it. I don't know. I've been up in some suburbs in northern Chicago lately that have nice state highways, which are only two lanes with a medium, and they're really quite nice. But traffic does move very slowly on them. And I was filling the air with blue words the other night because I was actually in a hurry. And the traffic was moving at less than 20. So, yeah, there are other stakeholders. So I also, like Alderman Kilbert, would like to sort of see the wording of this goal. And let's move ahead and present some wording, and we could always bring this up and change it at any time. After all, these goals are just advisory to the staff.
Exactly.
Can be changed at any time any council member has a problem, or not just any, whenever a council had a problem with a goal, one should be flexible to change goals at midstream. After all, plans are important, but plans never survive first contact with the enemy, so.
Mr. Mayor, I was just going to add that every year after our strategic planning workshop, we bring back a report with a list of the goals and the prioritized goals that are voted on. So if the council is in agreement to include this with the prioritized goals from this past Friday, we could add that to the list, and any wordsmithing could be done at that time. And then subsequent to that approval by the council, then it gets rolled into the budget. And again, you have an opportunity to look at the way that it's worded and any price tag attached to it within the budget itself. So you'll have a couple of opportunities to do that, if that's acceptable.
Thank you.
Anyone from the audience? We will advance this as part of the goals. We'll rework on the language. Opportunity for refinement, of course, is always there. And thank you, Bob and Phil. The Bob and Phil Show. Nice job.
Thank you.
Give him the Bob.
We move on to item 10, which is municipal bills for payment, and we kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $583,142.31.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found in the packet for tonight's meeting on the city website.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as read, available in our packets and on the city's website, and that was seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We jump down to a committee of the whole items of business. Item 11A is to consider ordinance number 2013-42, authorizing and providing for issuance of general obligation refunding bonds, electric system alternate revenue source, series 2013.
Yep. So moved.
Entertain a motion by Alderman Marks.
Second.
Second by Alderman Cummings. Questions or comments regarding this item? Mr. Dahl is present with us this evening, and Mr. Dahl is a special guest as well. Would you like to say a few words, or Mr. Dahl would like to introduce our guest? And you weren't one of the baseball players we forgot to give a ring to, were you, by any chance?
Yeah.
This is Raffaella McKenzie from Spear Financial, who was helping with the sale of the bonds today.
Great.
And we've got the numbers here, and they're in the packet, well, the addition of the packet.
Could you share those numbers for the benefit and consumption of all who are watching?
I'll let Raffaella.
Ms. McKenzie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. The City of Geneva had its bond sale today. It was a negotiated bond sale with Robert W. Baird and Company in Naperville, Illinois. And as a negotiated sale, we currently refunded some of the city's existing or outstanding debt, the electric revenue bonds. And this is for about 7-year debt service. We didn't extend the debt. This was primarily for savings, and as a result, the city was able to save about $77,000 on the bonds. The old bonds had interest rates ranging from about 4.75 to 5%, and these were replaced with 2 and 3% bonds, resulting in a true interest rate of 2.28%. So, very short, but the opportunity was there, and it was a situation where we felt we needed to grab the savings now or it would eventually go away. So we were able to, we actually looked at another candidate, that is another bond issue the city had outstanding to see if it was beneficial to refund, but the savings just wasn't there. The market had shifted a little bit, and this was the best candidate for refunding. So it's short bond issue with semi-annual interest payments, but again, we, instead of ignoring it, we thought the city could realize those, $80,000 in savings. And another part of this whole, the refunding process is that the city was also able to go to the bond rating agency. And as some of you may be aware, with the economic downturns, the declines in the equalized assessed valuation, there are some municipalities that have had their rating downgraded. And congratulations, the city had its rating affirmed at a AA2 with Moody's. I was very pleased. And again, even with some declines, there were other great, and I should say very strong factors for the city that held that rating at the AA2, which included, you know, your financials were well maintained, your actual debt service, over 85% is paid off in the next 10 years. So those are very good things to look at in terms of your local economy as well and other factors that maintain that AA2 rating for the city.
Thank you. Questions or comments from Ms. McKenzie? Alderman Cummins was handing out the documents as we were all sitting down. Mrs. McKittrick?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to remind everyone that this is the bond issue that we came to you back in June, and we were anticipating the sale to be in August. That fell through. The rates weren't good at that time, so that it got delayed until today. So this is the same one that we went through the public hearing and had anticipated earlier, but it didn't work out until now. So I just wanted to remind everybody we've been working on this since June, and you know, saving almost $80,000 for the city. So thank you.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Anyone else from the audience? Mr. McQuillan?
Bob McQuillan, 2677 Berkshire Drive. I would just have a quick question as to what fees were paid to refund those bonds. We had a savings of $77,000, but does that include the fees paid?
That is $77,000 is net the fees that were paid. And in fact, because this bond issue is so small or is of a smaller size, what we did was we tried to eliminate as many fees as possible. And some of those fees, for example, included printing off the official statement. So what we're finding is a lot of investors like to have a lot of people are going electronic. So a lot of people don't want actual printed documents anymore. They prefer to have the documents emailed to them. So printing would normally range at about $1,800 or so. We did not have a printing fee set up for this. So we will just do local, or rather in-house printed copies and send those off to individuals that request them. And some people don't want printed. They just don't want the paper. So they just deal with it electronically. Another fee that we reduced on this bond issue is we did not set the funds up to go to an escrow agent. So because it is a current refund and bond issue to pay off, and what we've done is we've set up the old bonds, which is the 2003 bonds that are being refunded, to be paid off in 30 days of the closing date. So this bond issue closes on November 19, and the 2003 bonds that we refunded are being called or will be paid off a month later, which is December 19th. So what we've done is, whereas in other situations we may set up to have the paying agent hold the money, there would be a fee with that. We did not do that in this case to eliminate the fee. So what we've done is we've basically had an agreement with the paying agent where, because the call period is so short, they'll hold the money for a short period of time. There's nothing to be earned. Everyone knows the banks are not paying anything. So there is sufficient funds that are being held by the paying agent to pay off the old bonds on the call date. So those two fees in particular were two of the things that we looked at.
What were the total fees, though?
The total fees are $39,500, and that included fees for financial advisor services, for bond counsel, and for the rating agencies to review the bonds.
Okay, so our fees were $40,000 to save $77,000.
That's correct.
Okay.
Anyone else? Mr. Cummings.
Why couldn't we go competitive this day and age of fast calculators, known markets?
Is your microphone on, Don? I'm sorry.
My microphone is on.
Oh, it is? Okay. Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt.
This bond issue, well, the city has issued competitive bonds, and you've also done negotiated bond issue. One of the reasons we felt that taking the competitive route was the best route was because the market had changed so much. So the interest rates, I'm sorry, yes, we decided to go the negotiated route instead because the market had changed. As Mary mentioned, this is a bond issue we've been working on for months. And what happens is when you set it up to be done on a competitive level, the underwriter, the official statement or the document is actually ready to go, whereas it doesn't move as quickly with a competitive bond sale. So with the negotiated sale, we already have an underwriter. We are watching the market. And it was just a matter of waiting for the rates to get to a target level that was acceptable and feasible, where we felt that the city could realize those savings. And that's one of the reasons going a negotiated route was the best route for the city with this transaction. And the other thing, too, is we do a lot of work with Robert W. Baird, and the interest rates that they offer, we look at other bond issues out there in the market to ensure that the rates that are being offered are reasonable rates and acceptable to us.
I just feel deep in my heart that a competitive issue would behoove us. We really ought to look at pushing more competitive issues. In the old days, it's very, very complicated to fund a bond issue. Nowadays, it's very easy. The math is there, the computing is there. And anywhere we can save another $10,000 is something like that.
And we do. We do, you know, choose the strategy that's best for you. And again, we could have gone competitive with the bond sale maybe 6 months ago, but what would have happened is the city perhaps would not have realized the savings. You would not have met your minimum target. and at that point, we have an official statement that's out. We would have to withdraw the sale because we wouldn't be able to move forward with the underwriter. And in fact, that has happened before on transactions, not with you, but on other clients we've worked on where they felt strongly about going competitive on a bond sale, and day of sale, they did not realize the savings that they were expected. So what happens is we have to pull that sale because that's not what you want. So we have to pull it, but what end up happening is we in turn negotiate that bond sale with the best bidder. You know, maybe there were three or four bids at that time. So let's say Robert W. Beard was the best competitive bidder, then they're the best bidder. The sale wasn't accepted by you, but to move forward with the sale, what we've done is then negotiate. So what initially started out as a competitive sale now turns into a negotiated bond issue. And again, the idea is to wait for the time, wait for the market, because it's good that we have an official statement ready to go. And this, I mean, we stalled for several months, but in the last couple of weeks, this moved very quickly because rates had turned around. And we realized that the city could take advantage of this savings. It's a small bond issue, and we just did not want the city to lose the opportunity. Thank you.
Anyone else? Comments or questions for Ms. McKenzie or Mr. Dahl? Mr. Dahl, did you want anything additional, or you good? Okay. We do have a motion and a second on the floor. Roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We jump down to item 11B, as in boy, consider approval of the estimated 2013 tax levy. Is there a motion on the floor, or are we on a presentation first? Or we have comments in your packets, of course, regarding motion by Alderman Maladra.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Brown. Comments or questions? From the dais? From the audience, Mr. McQuillan.
Good evening. This is always a fun time of the year, tax levy time. And I see tax levy as probably the most convoluted thing that you discuss in all of Illinois, because it's backwards. And it's a difficult thing to predict what you might be taxing to people in the future. So I'm going to give you my opinion on this. I see it as a need versus what you can get. And a lot of times people say tax to the max because we'll lose it if we don't tax it to the max. That's not true. If you don't need it, you don't lose anything because you don't need it. In the presentation that was given by the city here, there was a $36 million decline in EAV just in the last year, and that represents 3.87% from the previous year. But I think the bigger question to look at is that this is the fifth year in a row where the EAV has declined. From 2009 through 2013, we will have a decline in our EAV, and we don't know when that's going to end. And the way assessment values of homes are done is that it's the previous 3 years average. So before we can even start to potentially get an increase in your assessed value, you have to have 2 years of an increase. And we haven't had those yet. So we're looking probably at 2017 before we see an increase in assessed value, in my opinion. You have a $48,000 increase in your debt payment for next year, which you will automatically get from the county. That is not part of any of the tax levy. Whatever is owed has to be paid. And according to the presentation, some of the pension funds are a little bit lower than they should be as far as being funded. So when you look at everything, you're getting, if you go for the maximum tax levy of 1.7% plus the 0.029 for new construction, you'll be getting $92,000 from the taxpayers, and then the $48,000 would be in the debt. That also comes from the taxpayers, so you're talking a total of $140,000. But your increase on the homeowner would be for a $250,000 home, $35 a year, $350,000 home, $50 a year, and for a $450,000 home, $65 a year, and that's all in your packet. But I think what you have to realize, too, and of course I'm pushing for a 0% tax levy, or at least come up to a dollar number instead of a percentage that you'll need for next year. But I think what the city has to realize is that you're one of six taxing bodies that the homeowners have to deal with, and you can't look at yourself in a bubble and say, well, 50 bucks isn't bad a year, we're doing a good job. Well, you don't know what the school district's going to do, and you don't know what the park district's going to do, and you don't know what the county's going to do. So I would urge that maybe this is the time that we go and give the homeowners a break and do a 0% tax levy. You'll still get money, more money than you did last year, because you get your $48,000 at least. But again, I don't think year after year we should be taking tax levies. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Any questions or comments from the dais? We have a motion on the floor. Mr. Clerk, please. Oh, excuse me. Alderman Vogelsberg? Anything?
Oh, no, sorry. Excuse me. No.
I hope you make it through the meeting.
That makes two of us.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We can discuss new business if we'd like prior to heading into closed session. Any new business from the dais? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On behalf of my colleague, Alderman Singer, he asked me to present this evening in his absence. He wanted to make everybody aware of the moving wall, which is a field of honor that's going to be displayed at the West Aurora High School at 1201 West New York Street in Aurora. This moving wall is going to be placed on the practice soccer field. There's all sorts of dates starting from November 7th through including November 11th. This moving wall to recognize the Vietnam veterans, and it's a memorial. So in order to not hold anything up this evening, you can go to www.vietnammovingwallaurora.org, and it gives you all the information you need. Apparently, on November 7th, Vietnam Moving Wall will be escorted to the West Aurora High School by motorcycle riders. Then there's an opening ceremony on Friday, November 9th. There's other ceremonies going on, and I think it culminates on the 11th, like I stated. So I don't have really any answers other than if you want to go to the website again, it's www.vietnammovingwallaurora.org. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Mr. McQuillan.
I took the summer off, so I have a couple of questions for you guys. Recently, there's been some newspaper articles about the Prairie State coal plant and what appears to have been a good thing for us in the last several years might be turning around and might be not as good as we thought it would be. And, of course, we all know that we're part of NMPA, which is Geneva, Batavia, Rochelle, and I think one other city that owns 7.6% of Prairie State. And according to an article in the September 4th Tribune, on September 4th of this year, they were charging $64.55 a megawatt. I don't know if that's Geneva's, but that's what the newspaper said, and I've learned not to always believe the newspapers, but that's what they quoted for Geneva and Batavia. But in 2011, it was projected to be $52 a megawatt. So we've had certainly an increase there. And a lot of the problems with the plant seem to be a building cost overrun of over $1 billion. So I know that Geneva gets about 60% of our power from Prairie State. So I don't know if you guys have discussed this in the last couple of months. I know it's a big issue in Batavia because they've always had higher electric rates than we have. And I know that since we do get 40% from our own plants, it does help us a little bit. But this plant is so bad that an average plant is on operation 82% of the time, and this plant is only working 62% of the time since it opened. And it is already scheduled to be down for a long period of time in the fall or winter due to design and construction difficulties. So I don't know if the city has been updated on what that plan is. I know there's a separate board out in DeKalb that kind of runs that. But the agreement that I saw that we signed, there's no ending date to it. I'm just a little concerned that our electric rates may go up very quickly. And I know that we run under what we call the power card or power cost adjustment, and that we kind of put those summer extra costs into it throughout the whole year to kind of even out the rates. Are there plans to increase that power cost adjustment based on what's going on with Prairie State? And if you can't answer that, that's fine, but I think there should be some discussions about this issue somewhere along the line in a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Before asking for a motion to go into closed session, just a reminder to the entire City Council and, of course, our community, we all lost a good friend in Mayor Jim Hansen of South Elgin. We send our thoughts to his wife, Terry, the kids, and the four grandkids, of course. And I think all of you received an email today regarding the arrangements for the honoring of Mr. Hansen and his contributions. So, with that, I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session to discuss the purchase and or lease of property for the use of the public body.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bruno, seconded by Flanagan. A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Vogelsberg, aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
No action being taken this evening. We shall return momentarily. Don, would you like us to connect you in?
No, thank you.
Would you like us to send flowers or a memorial contribution?